live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 218. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, and joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you in this wild Thursday?
Yeah, man. We thought it was gonna be a little quiet. We got some topics to talk about. I know you'll go over here in a second, man, but I didn't think it'd get this loud, especially for the local team, the Pacers here, on this particular Thursday evening, man. But like, nah, man, it's great to be back, you know what I'm saying, with the Crossroads listening audience, man. It's great to top it up with you. And please, man, give us the rundown for tonight's show, Brandon.
Absolutely. Tonight's show, we've got Pacers talk. We've got news on 8 news that be still as we speak. News is broke about 3 o'clock. We'll recover. We'll go into that momentarily. We've got Pacers talk. We've got NBA news and notes. It's up from the league. We've got people saying, if we don't go after somebody, I'm out of here. We've got people saying, I'm better than the GOAT, Jordan, and I can lock up. Got crazy talk going on. We've got the Open across the pond, British Open going on. That started early this morning at 1 a.m. I was able to catch some of the start of it right at 1 a.m. We've got college football talks and more. College football, we are actually fast approaching college football season, and I cannot wait. But heavy. We'll take your calls in tonight. We'll have our usual suspects usually, but John, we've got to dive right in first. Around 3 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern time here at Indianapolis, Adrian Ward reported that agreed on a 4-year, $133 million max offer sheet with DeAndre Ayton. The Phoenix Suns have, obviously, 48 hours to match. Technically, they have until 11:59 Saturday night. And it was also reported from Adrian Wojnarowski maybe 30 minutes later while everybody got pumped up that the Suns are plan on signing him and matching it. That way, it's going to end up taking them out of the Kevin Durant possible sweepstakes. But before I get into it, I do have some audio from our guy, Windhorse, right at about 3:10 on ESPN's NBA Today show. This is what was said regarding the Pacers and Ayton situation.
Brian, what do you make of the situation unfolding and us seeing DeAndre Ayton sign that offer sheet?
You know, the Pacers have been lining this up since the first day of free agency. They met with DeAndre Ayton coming right out of the gates, expressed their interest in him, and as the Suns elected really not to seriously engage on the type of contract that DeAndre Ayton wanted, the Pacers made moves to make this possible, specifically trading Malcolm Brogdon to the Boston Celtics to open up the space to do this. Now, Malika, the Pacers don't like to do offer sheets. How much do they not like to do them? This is the second one they've done in 40 years, and the last one was for a very low-level role player. So they wanted to negotiate a signing trade with Phoenix and had discussions to that end. They couldn't agree to terms. There was some consideration that this could be a part of a bigger deal. We talked about that on the show this week. But the Pacers are tired of waiting, and they went forward and made this move. Now, the real question is, do the Suns match? The concept of losing a player like DeAndre Ayton for nothing, which would happen if they didn't match in 48 hours, would be a devastating blow to Phoenix. We almost never see the loss of a restricted free agent to this level. But they do not believe that Ayton is a max player. They didn't believe he was a max player during the extension talks last fall. They do not believe he's a max player now. Matching this would make DeAndre Ayton untradeable until January 15th, so he couldn't be used in any kind of Kevin Durant trade, even if they kept him. And it would push the Suns about $15 million into the luxury tax, a very penal place that they have almost never gone before. So we are all going to be having our popcorn watching the Suns maneuver when they get this offer sheet and we see what bells and whistles are in it to see how toxic the Pacers might have made.
So, John, I feel like the Pacers now are playing chess with Phoenix saying, oh, you said you weren't going to sign. You don't want to sign. Well, we're tired of waiting. Boom, here's a 4-year, $130 million. Well, it's just going on with Kevin Pritchard and the Phoenix organization on top of the Kevin Durant, because you know if we sign Ayton, there's no way they're in the Durant sweepstakes. What's your take on all this, John? Let's break it down layer by layer. First, Ayton agreed to the contract that's rumored, and how much the Pacers were actually going to give him. Holy cow, it's a different era.
Yeah, we're in a different era, man, when the Pacers are talking about spending and spending that kind of money on one particular player, man. But, you know what I'm saying, you have to like DeAndre Ayton's upside. He has a championship pedigree, got to the championship basically a year and a half removed, right, from going to a championship game. I know Phoenix didn't win, but he put up some great numbers throughout the playoffs during their championship run last year. For whatever reason, man, you know, the Suns don't want to invest. They'd rather invest in the other, you know, pieces that they have that kind of surround with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. They, truth be told, probably overpaid Chris Paul just a little bit. So at the end of the day, the NBA still does have a salary cap, right? So they have to, the Suns have to look, you know what I'm saying, more forward down to, like, what does the future look like for them than just to overpay or to give the demands to DeAndre Ayton. You know what I'm saying? The contract puts him well over to the $30 million per year threshold, right? And at some point, the Suns have to pay Mikal Bridges. At some point, they have to pay Cam Johnson. And at some point, they're probably going to have to re-up again in a different type of cut, the way Devin Booker, man. If they could, they really need the you know what I'm saying, who was the best general manager they ever had, or off the person. They really could use Cotton Simmons buying on some of this, man, to try to navigate some of these free agent waters, man. So, like, nah, man, the Patriots put their cojones, right, on the table, say, yo, we want him, and they can sign him. They can sign him outright. That way they don't have to make a deal. They don't have to trade off another asset. They don't have to trade Miles Turner, which is a whole nother thing. So, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, would the Pacer Nation, right, relish a front court rotation of Miles Turner, DeAndre Ayton, and Jalen Smith? Absolutely. Who wouldn't marvel at that? I don't know I don't know, like, who's the starter. Like, again, basically what Carlisle said, you know what I mean? Because all those guys either going to play center or power forward. So who's the starter? You know what I'm saying? If Miles Turner is still here. But it kind of puts Phoenix in a position to, like, either match or come up with a deal where they take a trade offer from the Pacers. I don't know what the Pacers trade or what the trade offer. I know there was, you know, a lot of people were playing trade machine. We played a little bit trade machine on the Crossword Sports Facebook page or whatever. I think we put out a trade that was basically it sent Miles Turner and Durant. I'm sorry, excuse me, and Durante to Phoenix for DeAndre Ayton. Oh, and McConnell too. And I thought that was, like, man, that's an awful lot for just that one particular player. But hell, the Pacers, like I said, Pacers put their cojones on the table and they said, yo, we want him to sign us. Like, Phoenix, what you gonna do? You gonna match? Phoenix doesn't want to match. That's what the Pacers can have.
They don't. They really don't, and they're put in a weird position. Yeah. They can't trade until January. They can't to Indiana for a full year. That's the way that rule states. And John, the reason why, and it was agreed to, Ayton hasn't signed. He still hasn't officially signed yet. I'm reading that there are still reports that they're working out a possible sign and trade. So they haven't, the offer sheet actually doesn't go into effect until 12:01 a.m. if he would sign it right now. So during that time, they have, what, five and a half hours until they can make a trade. So there's works right now on possible assigned trade to say, hey, you know what, we call the bluff, but we'll sign, but, damn, we don't want to spend that much money. We've got enough cap already, so let's work out a trade. I think it makes sense for them to work out a trade, but I love the fact that the Pacers are going to say, hey, you know what, we're going to be spenders. We'll spend some damn money finally. And is it really worth it? Is he worth it? I don't know. I like the fact that at least for contenders to spend it. I mean, when's the last time we spend it? You know, I mean, DeAndre Ayton's contract here, what this is worth, will be making more than what Reggie Miller made in his entire 18-year career in Indiana. So there's a figure for you. And What's he thinking right now? Like, damn. Either I got my last year.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They offer an outside player. But again, man, look at – we can put up their resumes. I think Aiden's just a little bit younger. I say Aiden definitely rebounds better at a higher clip. Aiden probably scores in low post better, right? We know Miles has the strength capabilities. You know, he's probably a little bit more versatile. But again, we asked you – I mean, they asked Miles Turner to be – A little like DeAndre Ayton. He never showed. He would show flashes of it. He just never showed the major consistency of it. Again, I think there's still some love for Miles Turner, in this, with this organization. Somebody that they've homegrown. I think Miles Turner was a one and done. You know what I'm saying? They out of Texas. There's somebody that they still value, but like, dude, at the end of the day, it's still business. And the Patriots don't want to have two seasons of, like, that's one thing you can like about Herb Simon and the Simon family about the Pacers. So again, they're not necessarily going to blow you away, right, about trying to bring in a Kevin Durant or LeBron James, you know, so Trent, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, with megastar status around them. But they've been the goats of the town, not goats, but they've been the, you know what I'm saying, they've been the, like, ugh, the Pacers. There was how much, 2 years of fan apathy, right? And, like, now, you know, Herb Simon has let the, you know, ink pen do the talking. And no more fan apathy. We are, you know what I'm saying, to coin a phrase from the Crosstown Brothers, the coach, we're all chips in, you know. So you go ahead.
I said, I wonder about Steven Simon, who's taking over for the operation from Dak. Even the fact that Phoenix and Lakers and Kevin Pritchard and all them during the summer league. So how much he's going to be, hey, you know what? Is philosophy different where he's wanting to get more involved? He's wanting to spend the money. I'm like, Dad, it'll be interesting to see. He's also on Twitter, so I've already blew him up week with a couple tweets. So he only has 340 followers for an owner. Come on now. Hell, if I'm one of the 340 blowing him up, no, he's getting those notifications. He ain't even verified. So,
absolutely.
Exactly. The Suns want no sign and trade expectations. I'm probably going to match the offer sheet if it happens, but they can't just, as Hornhorst says, you can't just let a talent like that go. They don't feel he's, the thing is, they doesn't feel like he's a max player. And damn, they really want to pay that. He doesn't really want to be there himself. So, more to come on that. We'll talk more in a second. We've got our guy Reggie. Reggie Sykes, what's going on?
The King of Trolls is very, very happy. First, once again, you need to do like D. Cott and eat a Snickers bar, because you're taking some crazy takes right here. Pacers have already said that Jalen Smith's going to be the starting power forward. And from what I'm hearing the reports for, him and Aiden were good friends in Phoenix. So I think he's seeing the value of playing with the point guard before I said his name wrong. Let me correct that.
I see
that the Pacers are taking a swing, and I like it. And I wouldn't have offered them nothing of value anyway, because you can't sign him because you're over the cap almost to sign him. So I'm going to wait the time, and since your GM is a former Pacer who we drafted in the draft a few many, many moons ago, the long shooter from the three that went to Miami Heat and won a championship. And, you know, he says he had roots here. He should have bargained with our Pacers and did a sign and trade. And now you risk the chance of losing him. They don't want to lose him, but they don't want to get out of the Kevin Garnett sweepstakes. And I really don't think that they're going to match
Red,
his offer sheet.
Red, you bring up two things, man. First of all, man, Jalen Smith, I like him. I think I feel like Miles Turner overall more so than I like Jalen Smith. Okay?
But
so,
that's really two different positions. Miles Turner is truly a center. Jalen Smith is more of a power forward. You were talking about Miles Turner scoring in the post. They never asked Miles Turner to score in the post. They told him to go run and hide in the corner. JMV says that all the time, and I agree. He only did with the coaches, Nate, the coach out of Toronto, and people have been told him to do. Go stand in the corner and clean up any dirt.
Don't cover for them. Both Nate and Carlisle. How many years? Okay. How many years are you going to make up this?
Go stand in the corner. They want to stretch three. Because he couldn't operate in the post because you had Sabonis down there. How two big men operating? This ain't 70s and 80s basketball where you can throw two people in the post and play catch and turn around. This ain't Akeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, throw the ball into the post. This ain't what they doing. But the thing that DeAndre Ayton would do for the Pacers, Pacers have a lot of shooters now. So he can operate. We don't need him to come out. And then you said he has championship pedigree. No, they lost in the championship, and he only played 17 minutes in game six because they was eating him up with a pick and roll. But I like Ayton. I like Miles Turner.
I would love for us to keep both of them.
But if we don't have to trade Miles to the Suns, he's going to have value somewhere else. We're going to get something from him. So
In his defense, game six, where was Devin Booker? That's the leader of the team.
True.
You forgot about
True.
That.
And
that's
the
all
Pacers
I'm saying.
Have made big splashes
you
before.
Mentioned.
And they have tried to make big splashes. They tried to sign Paul George to a max contract. They tried to give Vic as much as he could after his injury. They had offered him more before then, but he wanted to play up. They offered Lance money, but he wanted to go out on his own to see if he was going to be worth more. Yeah,
True.
The Pacers usually don't make splashes like this. This, like they said, this is the second big splash they've made. They usually don't like doing any type of – last one was the guy out in New York.
Yeah, if he does end up in a Pacers uniform, I think that's the pace they want to play, not to try to be funny. But, like, you know, he's a get-up-and-down-the-floor kind of guy. You know,
I agree. I think they want to get up and down anyway. You know what, though, man? Sad thing about this, man, I hate that we had to waive Dwayne Washington, man. You know, I feel like he hit seven threes in one game, man. And I really hate that we have to waive him,
Washington,
man, you know?
Yeah, Washington and Sykes are going to be casualties of all the guards that the Pacers kind of acquired. So you kind of got to look at it. Like they have some defensive liability about them, though.
Oh,
Red.
A lot.
They had a lot of defensive liability. They'll shake out somewhere because,
why Miles couldn't rebound because he's too busy trying to guard the revolving door because when nobody on the wings play. One thing I have noticed in this summer league, it looked like these kids want to play defense. Look like the kid that we got in the trade from Boston, Nesmith. What's his name? Look like he's a defensive player.
Aaron Nesmith. And I didn't know much about him to be honest.
You know, but I thought I liked that game against Detroit the other day. And to me, I know it's summer league. I know it's summer play.
I don't know what happened. Once he was a Brad Stevens kind of guy. Because they Boston brings in young guys, two and done out of Vanderbilt, and Boston brought him in around the time. It wasn't the same draft. It might have been the same draft. I don't have the notes in front of me. It might have been the same draft when they brought Romeo in, and Romeo was a little bit of a higher pick, right?
I think it was the same one as Garland.
Okay, yeah. Nesbitt got a little game, like outside. Like he got a good outside shot, but he's like a confidence player, if that makes sense.
He was stuck behind a deep bench, and he had a few injuries that slowed him. That's just from the sources that I've read and heard.
He's a confident guy, but also, like you said, he plays behind Tatum and Brown. So, like, how many minutes you really going to get between those two?
Hey, man.
I like T.J. McConnell. Let him go.
You can probably let him go ahead and go. I like his energy off the bench, but you can probably let him go because we got some kids now that need some playing time. And if they land Ayton, they ain't trying to do a total rebuild. They trying to win it here in about 2 years, you know.
I agree.
I like him. You know, he had a great game in a tournament. I mean, this game was going back and forth. I think it was against Baylor or somebody, man. They were balling out. And I just thought he was one of the best players on the court, you know. I think he's going to be a great addition. And I don't know why people are mad at Durante. I've been hearing that people are like, stick him in the tree. No. You keep him. You keep mattering. and you keep – if you can keep Turner, okay. I like to keep him tasked. We got Nesbitt. We got to get some forwards in here somewhere. I will agree with you on that. We got O'Shea for Seth, and we got we have Smith. And who are we going to have playing small forward? Hot Hill? Who? I mean, you know, we probably need to get a few forwards here. So if push comes something, keep Tice. You trade Turner for a couple of small forwards or something and see where things shake out. But I'm really super excited for your Indiana Pacers. And this is the best call that I've ever had for this show. I love this show. Don't go backwards with this show by accepting D-Cott's phone call. Don't accept it. But, yeah, we're going to be great. I'm excited about the coach. I'm excited about sports in Indiana in general because we're on our way back. And I do know that in my lifetime, I will see the Pacers win a championship. In my lifetime, it's going to happen. And people like to
laugh. Reggie, you was alive when the ABA won, when they hung that ABA banner. You was alive.
But I was too young to remember them, though, then. You know. But hey, y'all, great show. I got to get back to work, and I'll talk to y'all later.
See you, Reg.
Thanks for calling, Reg.
All right, that's Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls, John. We go from him. We got another guy. D-Cop, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? First of all, I'm so glad we got the JV game out the way. It's important to bring substance to a show as opposed to just a rooting cause and a uncontrollable
fandom. Did you just say JV game?
Fandom.
You said JV game?
Yeah, JV. It may be the
you call Reggie?
Game.
You call Reggie?
No, no. Maybe
West
grade.
Virginia?
Maybe
you
grade.
Call Reggie West Virginia?
No, West Virginia State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
that's
so
disrespectful.
So now I'm well, and true. It may be disrespectful, but it's true. So, look. So, of course, you know I'm only calling about the Pacers. I don't care. I'm not talking NFL. So,
okay.
We don't know the details, obviously, in the offer sheet. However, if Phoenix, as there's rumblings that they're already saying that they're going to match it, what it tells me is there's no, as I said in the chat, there's no poison pill to keep Phoenix from signing him, right? Meaning they've got some young guys that are due up soon. They've got
Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson and Campaign are due up after next year. Mikal is going his deal is going to kick in next year. He'll have 4 years at about $22 million. But the problem is you got these two young guys and they got to pay them. What the Pacers could have done was put a poison pill in there. It doesn't have to be the first season, but maybe the second season, based off of where they are on their salary, and say
take it off the table, and let's say they don't match. Does that put the Pacers in the sixth or seventh slot?
You all have heard me talk about Aiden for the last couple of months. He would be a great compliment to what we've got. We got a young core group, right? He's 23 years. I think he just turned 23, as a matter of fact. A guy with something to prove. A guy who was the fourth option on a contending team, right, for the championship. A guy who wasn't extended, who was the first player picked, 17-10, right out of it, right. And on top of that, that's the area where he's from. And I'm not going to use the disrespect card because that's not fair. Oh, I was disrespected. Paying you that kind of money, I would love to be disrespected with that type of money. But they didn't value him publicly and last season like Luka Doncic and Trae Young were respected. And I think that's a piece of what's happened with him also. You know, he was the anchor for that defense, right? But after him, you're talking about mush. Look at that team. You don't see anyone that can stop anyone in my opinion, Devin Booker is a Ole guy. Yeah, Chris Paul's a nice 6'2 defending point guard, right?
Yeah.
Cam Payne and Cam Johnson are three spot up shooters who don't have an affinity for defense. He carried a big bulk of the load, and what he's saying is you don't even appreciate
me. Right.
That's and I'm talking about on the defensive end. If they don't
– if you go advanced analytics against
– Uh-oh. think we lost John.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I don't know. I think we lost John. John, we lost you.
Call back?
No, you're good now. I can hear you now.
Okay. No, against the league, big man. Of course, there's some haters. In advanced analytics, against the league bigs, you know what I'm saying, the Carl Anthony Towns of the world and, even the Sabonis of the world, he holds his own. Now, Joel and Jokic and Giannis, you know what I'm saying, there's some stumbling blocks, you know what I mean, that might be statistically from a one-on-one standpoint. And in that Dallas series, they were wanting him to do more. And, like, again, but you just said it, because he's the third option. So, like, where's the first and second option? You want me to do more, but where's the first and second option? They didn't necessarily play that miraculous and say great them damn selves. So there's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of hurt feelings in here. That's clear, you know. And probably a lot of Chris Paul behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Or running the locker room and saying this guy ain't worth it or whatever. But put my GM hat, knowing what I've seen out of him. I get it. Again, everybody's not going to ball out against everybody. You're not going to be a killer against everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would have. I can't foresee them matching it. They don't. They didn't want to go through the $30 million threshold. So I just can't.
Listen,
I really can't. Go ahead.
Here's why I think they did it though, Jonathan. They made the tender offer, right? So to get a gauge, I believe, where do we need to fit? Because we don't want to max them out. So this is sort of like giving you the questions to the test before it happens. Not the answers, but this gives you the questions so you'll know what to study for. So now what they're saying is, okay, now we don't have to pay him $40 million a year. All we have to do is pay him $33 million a year. $7 million
okay,
savings, right? That's
right.
What I'm seeing this as. So what's happened, in my view, is, you know, as the Pacers got holds a little bit on the Brogdon deal for Milwaukee, they gave up more than they had to because Brogdon, I think, was unrestricted or something was happening, and they gave Milwaukee something to say, hey, we're doing business the right way. But you have to be a little more cutthroat, and most folks don't know that. You got to be a little bit more cutthroat with that, and that's why I say. You, to your point, Jonathan, maybe they won't, right? However, if you'd have front-loaded that money, maybe the first year, think about this. Turner's going into the last year of his deal, right? If I remember right. Either the last year or the next to last year. Right. So now what happens is you're going against $33 million opposed to maybe $26 million, which could have made a big difference. It can make a big difference. I'm signing Turner or not, in my view. So all I'm saying is I hope they don't match it. I think it'll make a difference with this young core, my young point guards who get up and down the court, and they also like each other, right? I'm sure the JV team mentioned that because he always mentions that in every conversation we ever had. So, but that his play would be better playing for the Pacers. Coming off of what Turner does, because Turner's a perimeter guy, right? From an offensive standpoint, he's not a post guy.
Right.
What Aiden is, so it almost you remember when Brad Miller and J.O. got together for the first year, it kind of and I'm not saying either of these guys or either of those players, but it seems like that type of a mix to me. Because those
say,
guys play
you
great
can say Aiden is you can say Aiden's Brad Miller. You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. But you follow what I'm saying, though, right? I think they have an opportunity to grow together, and I think it will work. It will be a big step. But here's the other thing. What I hope it's not is, hey, Pacers fans, hey, remember I'm the guy that was out there shaking hands and kissing babies the last game of the season? Look what I tried to do. I hope it's not smoke and mirrors. And,
you know
what I'm saying?
I think this is the real deal, dude.
But you know what I'm saying. We've been there before, man.
Fan apathy. They're not about stuff. And they've had fan apathy. You know what I'm saying? People were pissed around here because it didn't look like the Pacers were trying.
But
you know what I'm saying? So I think this is real.
Well, you may be right, but let me tell you this. What also is a fact is Pacers season ticket sales are, I want to say, at the time that someone told me, about 12% lower than the prior year. Fact, right? In that neighborhood. So, and a lot of people are thinking with the remodeling, the Pacers tickets have gone up. Just as you know, fact here, the Pacers tickets have not gone up. Was that money was already there. That's not city money or state money. That money was already there when they built the stadium. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're going to up your ticket prices and they're going to screw you over with a bad product. Actually, I'm telling you, last year to the year before, my ticket prices went down for my seat. So I hope we can squash that rumor of ticket prices going up. But if he's not smoke and mirroring it, that's great. But I just, here we go.
We got breaking news.
Breaking news. Out of the NBA. But as announced, no agreement close from the understanding, but dialogue is certainly ongoing through the evening and into the midnight hour.
Jonathan, you cut out on me. I mean, Brandon, you cut out on me. It was breaking up. What did you say?
Brandon, you sorry. Repeat that one.
Yeah. Per sources, the Pacers and Suns have made some progress in the DeAndre Ayton sign and trade talks. But as of right now, there are no agreement close from the understanding, but dialogue is certainly ongoing and through the night until midnight.
See, I'm not a fan of that because what it says is Phoenix saying, oh, shoot, we're not going to sign him, so help us out.
Right.
Again, the Malcolm Brogdon thing in Milwaukee. Not Boston, it's all Milwaukee. See, the Pacers have to go for the juggler. They got to go like Minnesota did. I'm getting fired up now. Minnesota said, we're going all in. We haven't had a great player since KG. They won that the West that year in the regular season. They lost to the Lakers. It's time. No one's coming to Minnesota. Let's swing for the fences. Man, come on. If you give them an out, what are you doing? You're making the KD trade easier probably. No.
Making
I say
friends.
No.
James Jones, friends.
You follow me? Listen, James Jones was a first-round pick out of Miami to the Pacers first before he ever became LeBron James' friend. Everybody loves James Jones, and he also knows you also know a sucker when you see one too. Let's call it like it is. And I'm telling you, if the Pacers get suckered into a sign and trade where these guys were not going to sign him anyway, it's a bluff. Okay, fine. Say they do sign him. Okay, sorry, DeAndre, we really wanted you. Hey, I understand you took the money. Fair enough. The Pacers aren't going to be a championship team next season with or without.
Because when you mentioned Kevin Durant, I feel like the asking price of Kevin Durant is a little bit too high, and that's the reason why that contract hasn't moved yet. I'm not saying it's not going to move at some point. I've seen all kind of proposed trades from all kind of, you know what I'm saying, like-minded individuals like Brandon and myself who get paid by, you know what I'm saying, ESPN and Fox Sports to do work to run the trade machine, you know what I'm saying, professionally. And, like, there was one trade that I saw on Jalen and Jacoby's show where it showed that the Brooklyn Nets would trade Durant to Toronto for the Rookie of the Year they just had last year and Paige Siakam and two first-rounders. So you're telling me Brooklyn, Kevin Durant. Okay, Kevin Durant probably in his mind wants to go play with those guys, not get traded for them. Because then that kind of leaves Toronto with just him and Van Fleet and maybe OG Anunoby. I haven't heard about him getting extended or anything like that. As I know, he's a free agent.
They would have to extend him if they did that trade. Because what else do you have? And you like to your point, right? That's to me is poor. But it wouldn't surprise me because my thinking is your starting point is the Gobert start. Five picks and three players that play. I got a feeling the cover's bare. And I said it to you guys weeks ago. I think Durant stays in New Jersey, and I think Kyrie stays in New Jersey. I really think they do. When it's all said and done, I think they stay. I've been wrong many times before, but I just don't see the market. I don't see the market in which is going to work for him.
Right.
They're asking for a king's ransom.
Right. Durant's still on a 4-year deal, and Brooklyn doesn't want to go through another. So at some point, you got to make a decision. What do you want to do? If you're going through a rebuild, I don't think it's reboot because you have too many other pieces.
They can't.
You brought,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they can't. They can't because they gave up too much in the Harden deal, right? And they've been irrelevant even with these two guys, right? So they've got to stay relevant somehow. The owner's got egg on his face because he let a player talk him into a trade that the GM didn't like. So, of course, he's going to come out and say things. So we know that stuff, right? You pay attention, and it's unfortunate, but that's New Jersey's problem, right? My big deal is I definitely say, listen, there'll always be New Jersey in my book. The big deal is if we cannot do a sign and trade, why? We hold all the cards with the Aiden deal. There's no reason to. Our players are under contract.
So you mean to tell me they'd have to take Lance Stephenson?
Listen, man, y'all gonna keep on bringing my boy's name up in this stuff, right? But no, I'm just kidding. But no, we would give up probably a wing player. That's our weakest position.
Probably
weakest position.
Well, I don't necessarily. I don't think it's weak, man. It's kind of deep, man. They got Nesmith. Remember, they got Fields.
We're talking guys 6'3" to 6'6". I'm talking about long arm guys who can defend that the perimeter. That we would have to give up somebody in that neighborhood. And I think our strength is in the backcourt. But I don't think that Phoenix needs anybody from our backcourt. I think that backcourt is pretty okay. Now, granted, Chris Paul's
it's okay.
Long two,
right,
you know,
it's okay. But they need to figure out. Well, I'm not trying to help Phoenix, right? But they need to figure out
any trade
as have far
Miles Turner. Any trade,
yeah. Any trade is going to include Miles Turner
because brings up another contract.
Yeah.
So who knows, man? Who knows? Because while we got you on though. We gotta talk a little college football, just a little bit.
Okay, are we putting a bow on the Pacers? We agree that DeAndre Ayton to the Pacers is a great deal and a great win for the city.
Absolutely.
If we can get him.
Okay, exactly.
If we land him. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Got it. I'm ready.
But yeah, we got to talk a little college football, man. I know that's, you know what I mean, because we have to, man, with all this reorganization that's kind of happening right before our eyes. They're coming down the pipeline. It's going to change college basketball as well.
To where
potentially again, I don't necessarily think conferences go away. The conference that we still have here will still be here. The Pac-10, Pac-12, Big 12. They might do some type of merger or something like that. Big 10's going to obviously get bigger. The SEC is obviously going to try to get bigger. The ACC is going to stay the same. But what if a team, what if a conference says, you know, okay, we can't compete with all the football schools teaming up. So what happens to the Big East? Because the Big East is not necessarily known to be a football powerhouse magnet, right? You could invest some of those schools invest in becoming football, you know what I'm saying, magnets probably. They could, but then, you know, again, you still would be behind the eighth, you know what I'm saying, behind in the line. You're going to be last in the line trying to ramp up yourself. Because I think Butler was 1AA. Like, you know what I'm saying, they don't want to really invest. They really don't want to invest into their football program. So from what I understand, that if it's total bedlam and total chaos after, you know, so let's say 2024, 2025, then a lot of those premier Big East teams, you know, Butler being one of them, but definitely Villanova, definitely trying to think who else is in the Big East. That's
Syracuse of the world, Georgetown.
Yeah, well, Syracuse, Syracuse
St.
already.
John.
Yeah,
oh, that's
but
right.
Those
St. John.
Yeah, those teams would just get melted. They would just come over into the ACC, and that would become basketball conference.
Here's what I would say. I was just going to say that. You're going to have a division of basketball and football schools because there's no way, I don't care how much money you put into Butler's plan, Georgetown's plan, St. John's, Boston College, a few others. They're not going to make the hay in football. It doesn't matter because they're not schools of that ilk, right? So that's talking about putting bad money after bad, but the NCAA has done that before after COVID. If you take a look, remember, you miss a half a season and you cancel about 10 sports per school. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did something crazy like putting money towards, you know, Butler football, that's a waste of time.
It'd be a waste of time. I said this, man. Again, I don't think the ACC folds. North Carolina, the SEC can offer North Carolina a position to come to be, to come to the SEC. And, again, you're going to have a classic. North Carolina football is not, they're not bashful, but they're not dominant either, right?
They've been middle of the pack.
But their basketball program is A1, day one. Thing about that is, man, my personal opinion, without Duke moving with them, they wouldn't go.
Wait a second. It's like the USC UCLA deal. Bring your brother that you don't like with you, right?
Right. Duke wouldn't go to SEC.
Because you're only talking about basketball.
And it doesn't benefit them to come over to. Right. It doesn't benefit them. Even some expansive TV package, like Duke basketball is king. Duke basketball is like.
They're the Notre Dame of football. They're a brand wherever they go, and they can stand on their own with basketball. They could.
Right. So
unless
something crazy happens
when Coach K leaves.
Right. Well,
you follow me?
He still got an office there. So I don't think Duke basketball leaves. But I do think from what I hear, especially after the Big Ten, Big 12 commissioner, a comment talking about, he said the Big 12 is open for business. I'm hoping that, some of the old classic Big 12 teams either get Brandon and DeKot. Not only are kids in the portal, programs are in the portal.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. How about we start with Nebraska going back first? They belong.
You know what?
Big
I got
12,
a lot of
man.
Shade. I get a lot of shade for that. People make up excuses and say this, that, and the other. They need to they say they don't think national. They don't think Nebraska recruits nationally. Nebraska got guys from Florida. Nebraska got guys from Texas.
Yeah.
Nebraska got guys from Oklahoma. The problem is, at my home game, at my away game, when I'm playing Wisconsin, I'm talking about Nebraska, and I'm playing Michigan, my people are not traveling for that. Why would I think about it, D-Cop? Remember those old Big 8 games, Big 12 games when Nebraska would play Oklahoma?
Oh, absolutely.
It would be split.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be split down the middle. Because Nebraska's
home team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's what, again, man, if the NCAA or whatever branches off to be to come to NCAA, right, if they think they're going to turn college football into pro football, and it is a form of pro football, but the NC school stuff is based upon rivalries.
Yes.
That's why I mentioned Duke
it's
and
not,
North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, that's
that
also what
driven.
Drives a lot of the money, too. It drives a lot of the
it's
money.
Driven. But they're saying the networks, are going to give you $100 million and everything's going to be fine. But I'm saying, competition-wise, it can't be because if I'm not a football school and I'm a middling basketball school, all we doing is getting our ass kicked, whatever they say, $80 million annually.
Right. And you're going to get buried. You're going to get buried because kids are going to see you get thumped week in, week out. They're going to say, I'm not even considering them anymore. Then all of a sudden,
Some people can say that, what about now? It's not like Ball State's going to the national championship. No, or some other middle of the road type of football team is winning, but at least you have the perception that if we play, we max out like a Cincinnati, if we max out, we might get we beat some of those big boys on our schedule, we might get an opportunity to get to the dance. I still think that with this new system, there's going to be an expanded playoff. Like 16,
has to be.
18.
Well, it has to be. But I'm going to tell you this.
It's not going to make them no happier.
But I believe this, though. I believe this, JB. I believe you saw the last of the Cincinnati's this past year. I don't believe that you can have a 20-team conference, super conferences, and there's a team like Cincinnati who's not in one of those conferences that can win. I just don't believe.
Okay,
Just like
Remember
Brigham Young winning the national title, going undefeated, and beating a poor Michigan team in the Holiday Bowl? You don't see that anymore, right? The next step was the Cincinnati deal. So I just don't believe that's going to happen. I believe the super conferences are going to be the way to go. I love it, though, for the players because there's going to be more money for the players, too. Think about this. 6 months ago how we were knocking NIL. These greedy players, they're hurting themselves. Now, guess what?
The network got greedier.
Right. Now who's greedy? Are you going to tell me UCLA and USC are not the same as that 18-year-old kid saying, how much can I get? The kid doesn't know better, but the university should. That's why I support NIL and those players getting every penny they can get.
Yeah, the university looking at that money. The Big Ten, once UCLA and USC comes to play for the Big Ten has a thumbprint that stretches from all the way from Maryland, that coast, the Atlantic coast, all the way to
the end of the East, to the end of the West.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this.
But again, when the hardcore schedule comes in and you're watching Maryland versus UCLA basketball, maybe you're all in, right, because those are two historic basketball programs. But when you're watching Maryland and UCLA football on a Saturday afternoon,
Rutgers and UCLA. Don't forget Rutgers.
That ain't much
Nebraska, TV. Nebraska and USC.
If you had told me that USC was playing Nebraska and this was 1996,
I'm talking basketball.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see that. No, if you're talking about football and this is 1996, man, that's a big time game. You know,
That's gonna be the fun stuff about it, right? And I want people who've knocked NIL to at least admit and acknowledge the organization. The colleges are doing the exact same thing as the players. When that man goes on and says, we are open for business, that's a player going to the portal saying, I'm open for business.
Right. I remember people, and I was one of the people, so I admit it, Brandon and Deacon, I'm admitting right here. I was one of the people when the Northwestern players said, we need to unionize. I said, them fools is crazy. But now, that's exactly what they need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, the educational places should have been the example for these young men, right, and ladies, right? Don't forget them. However, they've been worse than these young kids in showing their desperation to go somewhere where the money is and their inability to manage their funds on a year-to-year basis. I don't know what ESPN's contract is and Fox's with NCAA football, but you're going to tell me less than a year went by and you start going to Aldi when you were always shopping at the highest grocery store. Remember Mars back in the day? You went from Mars to Aldi. Tell me they're not culpable for that? They absolutely are. So that's why I love seeing this thing go out, and I love seeing these schools pander for other conferences. They're pandering, and I love they're on their hands and knees begging. Good. They should beg because they get a disservice to these kids, and now it's coming to roost. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, that's for darn sure.
I know you love it. The problem is,
I'm fired up.
Hold on. I know you need to quiet down. I'm gonna put you on mute.
All right, I got you.
Number one, your boy in the SEC, Greg Sankey. You realize he's about to kill one of the greatest things in college sports history, correct? You realize this, right? Your boy's
absolutely.
His comment this week, the full quote, a couple of people from the P1 Council called me and said that Sankey has talked down to the lower conferences and made it look like the NCAA tournament may not be the NCAA tournament in a couple of years, meaning the little guys won't be involved anymore. Pushing Sankey and the SEC and some of the other big boys to include the usual that would be in the NCAA tournament. That would be awful and horrendous for the college basketball. This is the worst thing for college basketball. End quote.
I would never sit here and toot my horn for Greg Sankey. I promise you I won't. You never will because he's a part of the establishment. So absolutely, it's typical of an egotistical, money-making cash cow like the SEC football conference.
That's whack,
that's
Brandon,
what it is.
I'm thinking just clearly, man, that's whack, dude. Like the NCAA tournament, technically all of college sports, man, the little guy, I get it, man. Cincinnati, I was rooting for him, right? I don't necessarily root for anybody in professional sports. In professional sports now, even on NFL level, it's so individualistic. And it's nothing, and it's nothing wrong with it. But the uniqueness about college sports is that you have that crossover, man. Kansas don't like Baylor. You know what I'm saying? UNC right. don't like Duke. All that played out. Does anybody yeah. really want that to go away? Or do we want the kids to get paid? I mean, you know, I'm like, because
if North Carolina leaves the conference, will not get the Duke-Carolina rivalry twice a year. It'll be at the other person's site once a year right. at the regular game, and then you're pissing off the boosters who were always yep. wanting their home game against their rival that they're not going to get.
Right. Well, you know what? You know, think about this in a smaller level. Remember back in the day when Pitt would always play Penn State? Always. That was one of the biggest rivalries on the East Coast. No
that
longer.
Was,
right.
Right? They,
Indiana, Kentucky, basketball. No. So I think the rivalry thing is going to go away within the next 20 years. They can say, oh, we're going to keep this rivalry. No, because money and ego will drive it. Not they don't listen to the fans. We at some point, we got to realize the fans aren't being listened to. The money is driving this bus. And
right.
until people realize that, the rose-colored glasses of, you should play Kentucky and the Penn State should play Pittsburgh and all. No, those days are over. And just like Cincinnati of last year, the Cinderella team, over. Because money is ruling the roost. So that's why it's going to be chaos. And these players are smart. They're saying, listen, you are going to do this to us? No problem. I'm getting my money now. I'm getting it. And I bet you it's going to be a big fight. I love it. Because, again, how is it that the establishment can win, can get so much money, but the players are looked down upon? I just don't understand that.
Maybe let me ask you this.
I mean,
it was also reported this week. Phil Knight, obviously the big Nike guy, running everything you can run up in Oregon with everything. Phil Knight's cold calling conferences. The Big Ten and the SEC, allegedly this week, cold calling them. Trying to bid in for see which one's best for Oregon.
Well, I'm glad you brought them up, Brandon. It's kind of a mystery to me. Why didn't the Big Ten offer Oregon first or two? Why does Knight have to call them? Because technically, from a viewership standpoint, in the last four seasons, Oregon has better viewerships than any,
you know,
than any Pac-12 team. Than any Pac-12
John.
Team. I know USC is like peanut butter. I get it. Everybody knows USC. But Oregon has the better viewership.
Well,
so,
I think it's the same way. I think here's the thing, Jonathan. Think about this. When the Big Ten said, come on in, Rutgers, they're looking for market size. I don't think they're caring so
okay.
much about the winning side. Because
no,
who
no,
in
their
right mind
well, – Oregon falls out of bed with 4 million viewers.
Well, I'm going to go there. So who in their right mind would think Rutgers is a good idea other than Big Ten? Nobody. So now that tells
Nobody.
Me they're not doing their homework, man. They're not doing their homework to say, to your point, Jonathan, Oregon is the cash cow for football. Not USC
right.
and UCLA.
On that side of,
but
on
seeing,
that side of the
but
world.
But they're seeing market size, yeah.
Yeah, on that right, because they figure they can get the California market, and away we go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
because
if
you're
I'm,
there doesn't mean you're going to get it.
If I'm the Big 12 commissioner, I'm making a deal with Oregon. I maybe even give them whatever split that we was going to give Texas.
Yep.
Whatever deal that you can give to you know what I mean, to keep them on the West Coast and to keep, you know what I'm saying, interest in both of their conferences.
I would agree 100% because it's like you got third place, but wasn't Michael Jordan the third pick in the draft? And that worked out pretty good, right? So
right.
I think that if the Big 12 says, hey, Oregon, name your price, I think the Big 12 wins that battle. Even with UCLA and USC combined, because of fair
right.
nice money and because of that cachet, I absolutely believe that.
Right.
So I think the opportunity is there, man. I really do. But it's going to be. I love seeing this, and I'm hoping that the Big Ten
the chaos.
I hope they wake up though and realize the mistake they made with Rutgers, the mistake they made with Maryland, and the mistake they made with Nebraska, and make it right. But Nebraska's made no impact in the Big Ten.
Because
if
I'm the ACC, I might ask Maryland, come on back, man. What are y'all doing in the Big Ten? Ask them. Come on back.
Yeah, them too.
What do we really, fall out? What do we really fall out of favor for? What happened? They promised
you
what?
People that get divorced, go get married again all the time.
It's okay. Believe me, my cousin got divorced, and she married the same fool again. What were you thinking the first time, right? So it happened. So I'm going to look forward to seeing what happens, man. But let's put a petition together to get Nebraska back to the Big 12, Maryland to the ACC, and Rutgers back to whoever.
Brandon, I know you lived in the world where Cordell Stewart played for Colorado. Nobody thought they was going to hear Cordell Stewart's story, right? Cordell Stewart in the Colorado program against Nebraska, from a football standpoint, that was A-money.
Yeah.
That was A-money.
Yeah.
Whether Cordell Stewart, I'm talking about Colorado, period. This is when Colorado used to be something. You know what I mean? And then they went full hard in themselves and said, oh, man, let's run this Pac-12 where who's our rival here? Who's our buddy?
Yeah.
They didn't go with nobody. They didn't even ask Missouri to go with them. Missouri went to SEC like some crazy people.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's something. Can you imagine? Missouri wouldn't even get a sniff of the SEC right now if they hadn't already been there.
No.
So, that's why I say we got to get those schools back to where they belong, and you got to add a team. Maybe if it's not Kentucky because of the SEC, but Cincinnati is a perfect fit in the Big Ten.
Well, they went to the Big 12. They going to the Big. They start Big 12 play next year.
Oh wow! Yeah,
They did UCF.
On my mind. Okay.
They gobbled up UCF, Cincinnati, and it's one more team. I can't remember.
Was it Tulsa? I'm trying to remember.
Wow.
It might have been Tulsa. It was, you know, it's one of those teams that always is kooky, man, wins by 10 games, loses by 3 or something like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of those teams.
Well, that's good for them. That's a miss. That's another miss for the Big Ten, in my opinion.
But, man, because the Big 12 games don't have no business in Florida. that's crazy to me.
They the middle 12, not the Big 12.
Exactly, right. And that's going to be painful for them. But it's going to be good, man. I look forward to this chaos. Keep us abreast of the Aiden deal, man, because I really think I think the Pacers should hold pat. And if they're going to do it, if they're going to trade, you don't give your core players up when you didn't have to. You just don't have to do it, man. You just don't.
Right.
So
you don't have to. Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. With Decott, I know we got to let you go, man. I can't wait till college football kicks off. I think this is This is going to be one of the greatest Heisman Trophy. This is just a spoiler for a couple shows down the road. This is going to be one of the greatest races, as long as nobody gets hurt. With Team Stroud and your homie down there, because we got to get Brandon. We got to get our Bama. You know what I'm saying? Little, you know what I'm saying?
No. I'm not saying that word. I'm not saying that. The team the school
Bryce
is next to Mississippi. The school is
Bryce
next to Mississippi.
Young, the Heisman. I know there's some people down in that think he's going to have a shot. I think it really is going to come down to Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, and Bryce Young out of Alabama for the Heisman, man.
Yeah.
If that kid down in Texas, if he wants to get another what car did they give him, Brandon Maserati? No, he got what kind of car did that running back get? What kind of car did he get? Was it a?
Yeah,
he had to deal with
Lexus. Yeah. No, it wasn't Lexus.
Man,
he could get it because
as long as he's upright. And has a decent quarterback support. I know that he could get it, but I really think it's going to be a special showcase when we see Ohio State, this year, and Alabama this year, because you got to think they are on collision course. How great is it going to be? And that's no disrespect to Georgia. That's no disrespect. I'm just saying as far as the Heisman Trophy is concerned, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young.
The big game I'm waiting on is the big game is that team is next to Mississippi and A&M. I'm getting fired up more and more thinking about it.
You ain't got nothing to worry about. Who coaches there?
A lot of Jimbo Fisher coaches there? A lot of people doing a lot of talking. Jimbo Fisher coaches there?
I get it, man. You know, coach is playing mind games with him already in the summertime. He just made chalkboard material. Nick Saban made chalkboard material for his team. We thinking like he offended Texas A&M, because you know what I'm saying? No, he getting his team together.
That's them a subliminal message telling boys, we're coming.
Yeah,
we're
those
coming
are money
form.
Players. They say those are money players over here. We got the money players. Man, Texas A&M 17 points. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I want to say 17
points. Let me say this. Last thing, the last time Nick
had an embarrassing regular season loss was against LSU. And when LSU, they interviewed Nick, and he says, hey, how do you feel about LSU? Well, they're pretty confident about what they did to us last year. Let's see if we can change their minds this year. And that's what's going to happen. There's
yeah,
a mind
that's
changing
what it's
things
be.
That are going on down there. Yeah, yeah. I look
that's
forward to it, though,
be.
Man, for sure. Hey, I keep me abreast. If something comes up, if I miss the Facebook post, man, somebody text me or something. Because I may not sleep.
We will go live. We will go live when the eight deal, you know what I'm saying, becomes official.
There's a
no doubt. Without eight,
Facebook Live.
Whatever it works, man, I'm all in. I don't have a bedtime tonight, so I'm good.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, you guys. Right. Roll Tide.
Love show, guys. Take care. Roll Tide.
Yep.
All right. Another thing I have college-wise I also think, you know, I think Caleb Williams, I think you got to throw Caleb Williams from USC. I think you have to throw him into the Heisman race.
Brandon, they trying to,
he's,
yeah.
He's 6-1. He's 6-1
yeah.
odds. The best odds. So you don't know
yeah.
what you're going to get out of USC.
He should,
it's crazy.
Brandon, he should tear up that conference.
He should
tear up him but they, is it, man, they're going to be, they, it's possible they can still lose a game and still get to the championship game. You know what I'm saying? You know how the politics kind of roll out, whatever. I don't know. You're right. He'll be right there, Brandon, but I don't know, man. He's not, I don't know. I think with USC, they're trying to rebuild the brand, and that's the, and if we get to the championship, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing there.
I'll shift gears. John, what's your favorite all-star game?
You have the NFL
Pro Bowl, you've got the NBA All-Star game, you've got MLB All-Star game, you've got NHL's All-Star game. Which one is your favorite? Because mine, while I would love to say NBA, and it used to be, but I kept falling out of love of the NBA All-Star game, obviously after the 90s and the Reggie Miller eras and all that was over. But
right.
MLB All-Star game, to me, just has that pure feel still. MLB All-Star weekend starts this weekend on Sunday night. Home run derby on Monday. To me, it just feels that's the American past.
Yeah, you broke up a little bit, man. But the answer, Major League Baseball, and this is the time when you
yep.
start really, you know what I'm saying, of course, when you start checking for Major League Baseball. Just because, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to ever say Major League Baseball has too many games or anything like that, man, but they have a lot of games. So you can't really necessarily crown yourself a champion, you know what I'm saying, in the first week of June. You know what I'm saying? I think the Braves were, like, dead in the water. And then they made a trade, and now they're 10 games. And they have some wins all along the way, and now they're 10 games up. No, 10 games out of the wild card. With a lot of heat going in. And then outside of that, like another team who kind of started out slow is the Orioles. They started out in the mud. The damn says now they're on a 10-game win streak. So right now, you know what I'm saying, when normies like myself are really, like, paying attention. And I admit it, man. Again, training day and all that. You know, start of baseball season, you know, it's a slow start. But yeah, this is really the jump off point. This is really the jump off point. And then when you talk about all-star break, you got home run derby, you got the game. I don't know. Brandon, I don't know if I still like the rules. Whoever wins the all-star game, that's still in place, right? Whoever wins the all-star game.
No.
They got rid of that. This is a good time, you know what I'm saying, to talk about these things. So they got rid of that. Cool.
They got rid of it.
You know,
now go by best overall record. Whoever has the best overall record, that league gets the field.
But yeah, they're right around the time you get to know some of the primary players who've been having great seasons this year. You know what I'm saying? You find out who's you know, is it going to be a Metro Series potentially, Brandon? Like, as the Yankees are hot and the Mets has finally got their head out of their ass, I wish Sweet Lou would call. Maybe he will. If he's listening, Sweet Lou, call in and let us know what's going on the East Coast with the New York teams, because again, I think both of those are in winning positions. It would be sweeter if some of the local teams that the Indianapolis faithful kind of around here kind of follow, you know, saying the Cubs is in rebuilding, Cincinnati Reds, they jettison everybody away,
in Cleveland. Like, I follow Cleveland. I follow Cleveland just out of historical, you know what I'm saying, and I haven't seen anything posted up. So, I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, man, baseball, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
right now,
agree.
Yeah,
I think it's one of the best with your home run derby, your futures game on Sunday night. Yeah, they finally got rid of doing the home field based off the All-Star game because, you know, people raised the riff back when it was tied and how many innings and you had nobody on the roster left. Right back at the messages.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, I also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specialized in custom motorcycles, boats, shots, Jeeps, trucks, and more. Where you're at in this world, Antarctica, Canada, God, for some reason, if you're in Russia, even the United States here, they'll ship you worldwide. Give them a call today. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. And then we also want to thank our final sponsor.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right, and we are back. John, if you want to the intro to our next guest, we'll bring him on.
Well, now the intro to our latest guest on the Crossroads Sports Show is a professional pro bowler. Here's how unprofessional we are. Kevin, how you doing? Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Show. Dude, I thought the last conversation I had with you is that you couldn't make the show, but I am glad that you called.
I'm here.
Brandon, this man is like, dude, we've been going back and forth, and I didn't, you know what I'm saying, whether it's on the phone or whether it's through email. And, you know, a lot of times things get kind of lost in translation, you know what I'm saying. Kevin tried to call to the show last week, and we were right where we were going off, you know, he was calling in. So, again, welcome to the Crossroads, outside of me being unprofessional, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Show. Kevin Williams is, like I said, a professional pro bowler. Is that how you say it? Is that how you would say it?
Yeah,
is that
pro
how
bowler.
You would,
yeah. Professional
pro
bowler.
Pro bowler,
yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, dude, because to be totally honest with you, you are our first bowler that we've ever had on the show. You know, I don't, you know, saying me and Brandon kind of mind melded about like, you know, so our content that we have on the show, you know, of course, just like ESPN and Fox, you know what I'm saying, it's heavy basketball, heavy football. And it's cool, you know
right.
what I'm saying, this is kind of the topic of the day, man. Very rarely, you know what I'm saying, in this day and age, and I know there's a lot of heavy presence in media, especially on online, you know, on Instagram and YouTube with professional bowlers. But there's very little time that we ever get to chop it up and, like, learn, like, what's it like
right.
to be a professional bowler? What's it like to be a professional bowler? And, like, how does that go from, you know what I'm saying, what people think is a recreation league type of activity? I know that's not the case, definitely for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, what people, the perception of it. And so, you know, let's reach out, you know, to somebody. Now, unbeknownst to anybody else listening to him on his phone, Kevin is also, would you say you're a hip-hop artist or a rap artist or just a musical artist?
I'm just a music artist. I do a little bit of all of it now.
Okay, so, yeah, Kevin wears a lot of hats. And we're going to, like I said, in the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to learn a lot about his hats, man. So, Kevin, again, welcome to the show. How long have you been a bowler? How long have you been a professional?
I've been a professional for 6 years now. I actually played a lot of basketball growing up and baseball, so I was never really
okay.
that big into bowling. I played a lot of other sports, so I really wanted to go play some college basketball and do whatever, but I hated school, so I took a year off from college, and I started bowling on the side, just like amateurly, and I started making some cash, and when you're broke at 18 and then you get a little cash in your pocket, I was like, I'm going to keep doing this. I like this money stuff.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. That's cool. So did you, so you never played, you never, you know what I'm saying, participated as a youth as a bone. So like, did, how did you know you were, how do you know you were good? Cause like you're talking to two guys who probably, if we had, if we could put 90 together, 190 together, that'd probably be our combined score. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know, and I also know that you, you, do you also train young bowlers?
Yeah, definitely. Do a lot of coaching.
Okay. Okay, a lot of coaching. Because I got a question for you after I got this one. But so like, how does somebody know? Okay, you said so you want a little bit of cash, man. So how do you know what level do you have to take it to from being, you know, somebody who just bowls with his buddies to a professional? Like, what do you have to train, or do you have to, like, you know, or you just fall out of bed and get a perfect game?
No, you definitely got to put the time in. You know, I started bowling towards the end of high school, really, where we had a high school program and we won state my junior year, and I was on the all-state team the 3 years I bowled high school. And so I kind of was like, all right, I'm pretty good at this, but I didn't take it serious. And then a local bowler who's extremely good and one of the best amateurs in the nation, he got a hold of me and was like, hey, I want to sponsor you. I want to back you. I want to help, you know, finance bowling for you, and let's go get you on your feet. So we started traveling and bowling some small amateur stuff, and just to kind of see where I was, he would pay for the entries because I didn't have any money, and we would split whatever profit I'd make. And then, you know, as I started getting better, I started, you know, backing myself and paying for myself because I had some money behind me, and then you just kind of work your way through it. But when I started deciding on taking bowling more serious, you know, I was practicing 5 days a week, a couple hours a day, getting in the gym, like any other athlete, you know, mastering your craft. So it's a little different, and, you know, you don't have to be as in shape as a bowler now, so people don't take into account for some of that stuff. But, yeah, it's definitely a grind. You definitely got to go out there and pay your dues.
What kind of venues? Where has bowling, you know what I'm saying, what tournaments? Where? How far have you gone continentally throughout the United States or even, you know what I'm saying, abroad?
Pretty much everywhere in the United States we bowl, especially on tour, you know, anywhere from Vegas to Florida, so either side of the United States. I don't do much of the overseas events because I don't really care to be on a flight for 15 hours or anything like that, but there's bowling all over the world. There's big events in Sweden and China and you name it. There's a lot of bowling going on. It's just kind of like a hidden gem. A lot of people just don't, like you guys, you just don't know much about the, you know, the bowling scene because it's just different.
Well, I grew up in a world, I'm a little older than everybody on this phone, so I just leave it at that. I grew up in a time when ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, not to shout out anybody else's show, they did do a little bit more deep dive. They did, like, before all the talking show, the talking heads, you know what I'm saying, back and forth kind of rule, you know what I'm saying, those, the airwaves during the afternoon, ESPN would show, you know what I'm saying, bowling. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was taped or if it was live, but they would show bowling. Of course, they would show tennis, you know what I'm saying, you get to know some of the participant athletes, you know what I'm saying, as like you say. But, you know, everybody just thinks bowling is, like, again, I will never say it's a recreational league because, again, I've bowled before, and I know, you know what I'm saying, the kind of time you have to put into it, you know, to be good, much less, you know, like yourself being great. So I got to ask you, when you're training, so I did watch some of your show, I just watched some of your channel on YouTube. When you're training a non up and coming bowler, what is it? Do you not teach them? Is a spare bad or is a spare good? Picking up a spare.
Spare's good. Spare's good. You want to fill those frames if it's a strike or a spare. You know, you want to stay clean.
Okay. But do you necessarily coach like that? You coach them to get a strike.
Depends on the level you are, really.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
If you average over 170, that's when we'll start teaching you how to throw some strikes. But if you're under 170 for your average game, we usually just want to, you know, make sure you pick up your spares and just kind of keep it close until you're, you know, comfortable there. Then you start learning how to strike because, you know, it's hard to just figure out how to throw 8 strikes a game, you know. But you should be able to pick up your spares first. So you always teach that first. And then as you start getting better, then we start figuring out how to throw some strikes and some big games in there.
So, I only bowl with one hand. How do you bowl?
Yep.
How do you bowl with two hands? How do you keep control? When did you learn? How did you learn that master? Like, you know what I'm saying, with two hands. And he's a lefty, Brandon.
Right. I started bowling when I was super young just for fun. My mom worked in a bowling alley, so I was always running around and taking the bowling balls off the racks and throwing them down the lane. But I wasn't strong enough to use one hand. So I just threw it down there with two. So as I kind of started bowling more and I got older, that's the only way I knew how to do it. So I just used two hands. So it's very similar to the one-handed style. You just use that offhand as kind of a little more support to hold on to it is all it really is. But there's a lot of similarities to one- and two-handed that people don't understand. It just looks goofy is all it is, you know.
I never said it looked goofy.
I'm the one who's saying it. I know that if you don't know much about bowling, and I show you a video of me bowling, and you're like, whoa, you threw it with both hands? What is that? So I understand. It's just very foreign look.
Right.
I got a question for you. So for those that are recreational bowlers just starting to get into the game, after this interview, they're going to want to get themselves in the bowling, get to the sport. How do you choose the ball weight? Because I feel like when I go to bowling alley and give me more credit, come on now, I can average at least a 150. So that means you got to 40.
I'm sorry. But
how do you choose the correct ball weight? Because I feel like I get the heavier ones because the way I throw, I have a little spin on mine to where it just curves down. I get more strikes with heavier bowling balls than the lighter ones. So how do you go first choosing the correct ball weight?
So the universal weight is pretty much 15 pounds. Most people from the age of probably 13 to 65 throw 15. Now, take into consideration if you might have some past injuries or you're a little weaker, whatever the case. But 14 or 15 pounds is what most people throw outside of, 12-year-olds and 70, 80-year-olds. So 15 pounds usually the way to go. Now, if you're just throwing a house ball and it's not fit to your hand, it's probably a little harder to throw it. But if you went into your local pro shop and you got a ball drilled and it actually fit your exact hand and your measurements, then it'd be much easier to hold on to. So 14 or 15 pounds usually the way to go.
Bowling events, those tournaments, how does the format work? And does that usually start like on a Thursday through Sunday or a Friday through Sunday? Because I've seen different ones different ways. Which ones are the ones that you're in?
They change up the formats all the time, just whatever the event may be, where you look at golf is a very comparable sport to us. They're always Thursday through Sunday. Most of the time, our events are Monday, we have a practice session, and then we bowl qualifying Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we cut to the first cut on Friday, and then Friday and Saturday is like a match play for the final cut. And then from there, the telecast is on Sunday. So we usually bowl Monday to Sunday, and then we're off to the next event. So it's usually a week-long deal.
Okay. Who's your favorite bowler?
My favorite bowler?
Yeah.
That's tough because, I have a lot of close friends out on tour, but all time I'd have to say Jason Couch. He's one of the lefties that actually hooked it a lot, so fun watching him whenever I did watch bowling a little bit.
Okay. John?
Kevin, tell me about this music pursuit. And it's not necessarily a pursuit because you got singles out. But tell me a little about this other hat that you wear, being a – I'll be honest, if I listen to it, it's heavy on the rap, but heavy on the feel-good type of party rap, in the club type of rap. That's how I would look at it. But, when did you get inundated with music?
It's a funny story. I actually started making music because a buddy of mine used to freestyle all the time, and he would always get all this attention when we go to house parties, and he got a page in the yearbook about how he freestyle rapped, and I was like, man, it can't be that hard to rap. So I did it straight out of, jealousy. And so I started rapping just, for fun. I started writing raps, and they were terrible. Let me tell you, they were like Dr. Seuss raps. It was the most basic rhymes you could ever imagine in your life. One hat, two hat, blue hat, you hat, And so I had so much fun with it than just the process of, trying to make a song that sounds cool and whatever. I just kind of stuck with it, and then I started getting pretty decent at it. And fast forward, here we are now. I have a manager out of New York. His name's Eric Nix. And we're starting to pump out a lot of singles and just kind of see what happens. But I love music. Just the process of music is so fun. Making something that people can have fun and listen to and relate to, it's great.
Okay. Which one? Well, I ain't going to ask you which one you like best, man. I never ask nobody, if they left hand or they right hand. So I won't ask which one you like best.
Man. I'll tell you. Music.
Okay. What are you? So you still on tour? Where are you bowling at right now?
We're actually at Junior Gold. It's pretty much youth nationals. So me and my tour roommate, Packy Hanrahan, we're here to just, you know, make appearances, hang out with the kids, take photos, sign autographs, help them out, you know, just make an appearance and see the future of our sport. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
I just walked out into the parking lot to call you guys, and, we're just seeing the future of our sport.
Well, appreciate it.
Hold on. We got one more. I got one more. How many three games have you had?
I don't know the exact number because I don't really keep track, but I'm going to say just over 100.
Wow.
108.
I can barely do that on a Nintendo Wii, let alone in real life.
Yeah.
I think the most strikes I've ever had was like 6 before in a single game.
That's pretty good.
And
that's
it was on like a Monday night
beer
league, and I love it.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Do you
big trophy? Go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, so do you ever go bowling with just your main group of friends, and are they like, dude, just quit being so good with us?
Yeah, you know, that's obviously not my first go-to activity because it is my job. But also, you know, if I'm with all my friends and whoever, and that's what they want to do, I'm not going to be the fun runner. So usually I'll either watch them or I'll bowl opposite-handed and just have fun, mess around, drink some beer, you know, whatever. Don't take it serious because that wouldn't be fun at all. So.
Right. Okay.
Professional bowler Kevin Williams, man. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry for the unprofessionalism, man. I thought we were going to reconnect at some other time, but I am letting you call, man. And can you say, what do you say in bowling? Do you say good luck, break a leg, or what are you supposed to say to a bowler upon them wanting to achieve their goal
just,
for this weekend?
Just like anything else, just, you know, good luck.
Okay. Well, good luck with tournament, man. I want to see. You know what I'm saying? I follow Crossroads Sports fans. They follow you on our site follows you on Instagram. And every now and then, he, you know what I'm saying, he has some funny videos for folks to kind of, you know what I'm saying, to check out or whatever. Or fun videos. I won't say funny. Fun videos to kind of check out, man. So we'll be checking you out, you know what I'm saying, going further. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else? What's your Instagram? Give us some plugs, man. You know, give your Instagram plug, your YouTube plug, and where can your music be found at?
So all my social medias are just Kevin Williams. That's K-E-V-E-N, Williams spelled regular. Just search my name in any music platform. You can find all my music. I've released 3 songs in the last couple of weeks. I just released a song Friday. So I'm going to pump out a bunch of music there. My Instagram is just Kevin Williams. And then we have a YouTube channel called The House Bowling. It's me and all of our roommates on tour. We just vlog and show you the behind the scenes of what it's like to be a professional bowler. So where you guys are asking me these questions, you can go watch some of our videos and just see how we live our daily lives as pro bowlers and, you know, get a better understanding for what we do as a living. Hopefully people can appreciate it a little more. But,
well,
yeah, it's just Kevin Williams everywhere.
Yeah, well, I do. Hey, man, I appreciate the bowlers, man. I promise the next time we have our conversation, I'll know more about the sport. We'll have an even deeper dive. I still enjoy watching. I think most of the bowling – kind of gums on FS1, but you got to catch it early.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I'm saying, on the weekend. So, man, again, Kevin Williams, thanks for coming to the Crossroads Sports Show, man. And
I appreciate you guys having me.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Have a great week.
Yes, you as well, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, Jonathan Williams, PBA Pro Bowler, which you just got to go down saying it, Pro Bowler. Not like
Pro
a bowler from football.
Right, man. I didn't want it. It was like a tongue twister, man. I kept on messing it up.
Boy.
Man. Plus, I never did. I was going to tell him my story about how this crackhead stole one of my bowling balls out of my car one time, man. But that's another story for another time, man.
That's funny because one of my buddies had golf clubs stolen out of his car. So surprised some crackhead stole his
probably
out of his.
I
love bowling.
Inflation hitting crackhead. Couldn't have crackhead too.
Yeah. My bowling over here in Westfield, and we haven't. So maybe we'll plan it for one of these days coming up. So we'll see. That was great to have him on tonight. So get him in. I got want to go. Well, first off, before I go, we go back to the NBA. I want to bring your attention for this week for the NFL news. Now, Sandra Douglas Roberts was named the first Black woman to be team president, and it's for the Las Vegas Raiders. that's a huge milestone, not only just for women to be in the NFL in a male-driven sport, but also to be the black female to be labeled as this a team president in one of the four major sports.
Right.
John, what was your kind of thoughts on that?
Again, man, you know, I guess it's probably, you know, one step to, you know, ownership. I guess, you know, I know it's been a lot of folks asking for better representation other than just being the product on the field. And there's no shame in that either, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying, more black, you know what I'm saying, folks want to have, you know what I'm saying, more control, more say, more people to look like them. You can't, it's not, it can't be bad, you know what I'm saying, the more voices and more people we add into some of these rooms, you know what I'm saying, that we have running these leagues that we all kind of watch. Homegirl, shame on me. The former, she wasn't vice president, but she was with the Bush administration. She became a co-owner of the Denver Broncos. Condoleezza Rice, thank you. Condoleezza Rice. So, you know, just, you know, the women are savvy business people as well. You know what I'm saying? It's not about putting a pretty face or even a big high-powered name. Some of that is a high-powered name in the NFL offices, man. You know what I'm saying? Their job is to make sure the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos are trying to find their way to the Super Bowl. Otherwise, they're going to get fired just like anybody else, president or no, black woman or no. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's, you know what I'm saying, some things, you know what I'm saying, you do a soul clap for, you know what I'm saying, as an African-American person, you know what I'm saying, hey, Nate, however you got there, you know what I'm saying, and then hopefully, again, I'm not going to root for the Raiders next, you know what I'm saying, to get to the Super Bowl, but what kind of story is that, you know what I'm saying, when a black woman team president, you know what I'm saying, sit together, like, I mean, how historical would that be? So wishing all everybody well. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of capacity, man. But like, nah, man, that was it's a great statement by the league that, you know, and a league that's highly criticized because they don't do things like this. So it doesn't seem, again, I don't think they put anybody in a position that if they didn't have the qualities, you know what I'm saying, to run it. So,
right.
More she's well deserved.
Have you saw any of the categories by
Hold on. You have I saw any wood now? I'm sorry.
Luck, the podcast,
oh,
the
Luck.
Series by.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, this is like rubber soft wood.
Getting killed for it.
Huh?
He's getting killed for it.
I really didn't click on it, man. I kind of listened to people, you know what I'm saying, kind of chat about it or whatever, but the Colts. Like, again, like, it's great that he's opening up, and it's great, summer, you know what I'm saying, but it's over, dude. That's over. You're not coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Andrew Luck, that's over.
On.
Yeah. That's
three quarterbacks.
You know what, Brandon, I'm just as mad as that as I am, again, you know, Andy Starr, I'm not no enemy of Andy Starr. That's the other guy that talks, you know what I'm saying, crap from 12 to 3 in the Indianapolis market every day. He got a thing with the versus Andy Starr. I don't. But here's the thing, it's kind of kooky too, Brandon. With that article, the other article that came out where all the former IU players were talking about Archie Miller wasn't the guy. He wasn't the guy? Y'all, what did they do? They had a collective down there of IU players. They said they did a national search, and then because Dayton had went to the Sweet 16 2 years in a row or something crazy, Archie Miller was made the head man.
Yep.
Jared Jeffries put that thing together. So it's kooky. I get it. Sorry, it's a story. I don't know. Joe Hillman commented. Brian Evans. I know you don't know about it, Brandon, because you anti-IU. But Brian Evans, Jared Jeffries. A bunch of former IU players, you know what I'm saying, basically kind of going at the Tom Crean era and the Archie Miller era of IU basketball, and how those two eras basically took them off the big blue blood map as far as college basketball is concerned.
Okay.
But, yeah, people.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
Speaking of idiots. John Morant, John, why don't John Morant shut up and play basketball? Because his comment of, I would have cooked Michael Jordan too. I'm never going to say nobody's beaten him, but he couldn't have guarded him in his era.
Right, Brandon. He also further went on to crap. In the end, it was nice way to say, he said that they didn't have no superstars in Michael Jordan's league. Era, excuse me. He said Michael Jordan's era would just be another, he would be a superstar, but he'd just be another superstar. He said, we got Luka. This is what this man said. He said, we got me, Tatum. He started naming off and was like, I'm like, man, do you think Luka Doncic was better than Charles Barkley? He's not. He wasn't. He's not. I'm talking about era. I'm talking about era versus era. You know, that makes you crazy as a basketball fan that some lung guy didn't let his money kind of go to his head just a little bit. Like, you haven't proved yourself yet. You didn't beat the Golden State Warriors. You see what I'm saying? Number two overall pick, I get it. The state of Tennessee and Memphis, they love John Morant, and he's on his way up. But, like, saying Michael Jordan, yeah, you might – I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. What did Allen Iverson do? He did the shake-up on Michael Jordan. Everybody remembers it. Like, it was like that was Allen Iverson's moment, introduction to the league. But that's the crazy thing, Brad Brandon. They lost the game. They lost the game. They lost that game, I think, by 20. Man, John Morant better get his mind right.
Breaking news from ESPN. Adrian Wojnarowski.
Oh, boy. My goodness.
Signed the 4-year, $133 million offer with the Indiana Pacers. And now the Suns are officially on the clock to match. Expectation remains that the Suns will do so and retain Ayton, but they could take this process through Saturday night's deadline.
They ain't, Brandon, they're not going to do it. That's crazy. I'm glad he signed it, though, but now we got more NBA drama over the weekend.
I know, right? Now you're going to be sitting there on Saturday night looking at your phone waiting to see what happens. So the trade talk must have just dispersed. Because
Brandon, would you rather going long-term, would you rather have your homegrown talent? You should pay. Phoenix should pay their homegrown talent and then move. If Chris Paul, I'm not saying that's what it is, but that was a rumor. If Chris Paul is saying don't sign him, or you need to move Chris Paul's contract because he's an older player, I might move Chris Paul. I know people are going to get on me
Here's
online.
My thing, John.
A lot of people have Chris Paul as the MVP candidate, but I almost would get rid of Chris Paul.
I think you sign him. I think Phoenix is going to do it, John. And I think they do because that gives them up until January 15th to find a trade partner where they can get pieces. They're not going to let this guy just go walk freely and get nothing in return. Right? So
they don't want
to be like, talking with teams from now till January 15th to work on trade for Aiden.
Man, we asking athletes to be professional now. That dude would automatically start sucking like Baker Mayfield sucked till he got shipped out of Cleveland. He like, they don't really want me here. I don't really want to be here. They only doing this to use my contract. You see that story that there? You're only using to use my contract to be here to January so then they can try to get Kevin Durant and some type of mega deal. Man, ooh, that's a mess. So I don't know. I hope they don't sign.
That's it. We will know
why
by Saturday night.
Why wouldn't they just take the sign and trade deal? I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't mean to talk over you. Why wouldn't they just do the sign and trade deal that the Pacers offered them?
They didn't want it.
It'd just be good
thinking.
Yeah, they didn't want it. It's an expiring contract.
I mean, did you see the dialogue with the Brooklyn? I'll call them Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets, the Lakers. Did you see the multiple offers that went back and forth?
Yeah, you know what? Again, I
posted
why
it.
Hesitant.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I know. I checked it out. I get it why they're hesitant to pay, you know, just move Kevin Durant for pennies on the dollar. But at this point, Kyrie Irving, he's been more of a distraction to your organization than he has been a credit. So you might have to take a little less. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. They should just take, again, Kyrie Irving is box office, but can you really trust him to play more than 30 games a year? It'll be something else. Now, if it's something else for LeBron to figure out or Team Magic, because, again, there's a lot of voices in that Lakers organization that says, yo. And I think I get that's what they say about Brooklyn, but they're trying to figure out, like, okay, Kyrie, you generally come into the Lakers. You know what I mean? That's a deal that could still happen, right? If LeBron wants it, so that's one person that's already saying yay for it. And he, like you said, evidently somebody else is pitching it as well. But they're going to take pennies on dollars to get Kyrie Irving out of there. You're not going to get, you know what I'm saying, the same type of talent back. Nowhere. I don't not just the Lakers. Not that's going to be nowhere. But then you got to figure out, and there was the deal. Then you got to figure out what to do with Westbrook's contract. Do you absorb it for the remaining part of the year, or do you try to ship that out? Because I know there was another scenario where he went to San Antonio, and other assets went to Brooklyn. Who knows, Brandon? This is real diva like stuff that these NBA players are running this year.
So it comes down to final thoughts on the DeAndre Ayton thing. We've kind of started with Deacon. Do we want him here? Yes. Do we think he would help this team? Yes. We both want him here. Do we think it gets money as a Pacer? You say yes. I say no. I think Phoenix is going to end up freaking catching this, and then they're going to trade in January. Unfortunately, I think that's what's going to happen. Say this happens, John, where he stays in Phoenix. Do the Pacers have option number two? Do they have a second option? Because you're going to have the most cap space in the NBA right now.
Think about it. Somebody would pay good top dollar for a healthy Miles Turner during right around the All-Star break to get a playoff push. You might give up two first rounders. You might give up two first rounders. That you see what I'm saying? That's a possibility.
Right now, I'll just have probably $30 million in cap space. If Aiden doesn't get back to Phoenix, they'll have, depending on what they do, trades and Miles Turner. Say they have that $30 million, they have the number one cap space going into the next season. Okay, here's some of your free agents. If you wanted to throw money at LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Chris Middleton, Kyrie Irving, Zingas, Kevin Love, Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell, Horford, Vucevic, and Harrison Barnes. Those are some of the free agents going into the following season. I don't know if there's any max people. Maybe I don't want to pay max money for Chris Middleton. I'm sorry. I really don't. Coming off an injury, you don't know what you're going to get from him next year. LeBron, out of the question. Russ, you don't want to pay Russ. Is ready to get max contract for Kevin Love or D'Angelo Russell. I mean, it feels like they're just going to eat the money again or trade or use it within a trade.
Would Bronny be a senior? If we draft Bronny, man, LeBron going to play for the Pacers, man. That's the only way he can get to be a Pacer. That's it.
Or,
and then
they
have to pay him like $65 million a year. He's going to get what Dame got.
Possibly. You save your money for 2 years, and then that free agent class, you've got Paul George, you've got Kawhi Leonard, you've got Klay Thompson. Do you throw the money? You got to entice the money
Paul
a little
George
bit. Hey, come on, boy. Come back home.
Paul George, come back home, man. I know D-Kai, if he's listening, man, probably losing his mind about that. I wouldn't be mad if Paul George comes back, you know. But I highly doubt it. They're not going to give Paul George that kind of money to come back.
Paul and Kawhi both have player on
heart like this.
In 2024. Okay. Thompson will be a free agent as of right now. $37 million is what his cap handle will be. They're going to have the money. Just do you spend it? And if they're going to spend that, they're going to have to spend it on the trade and become a prime star in a trade because the free agent class does not look great next year as much and it doesn't look as great the following year. I mean, it does look great the following year, but you're really going to get some players. I mean, you got Drew Holiday is a free agent, Pascal Siakam, Tobias Harris, CJ McCollum, Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. I mean, you could Jaylen Brown. You could go out and get Draymond. You could go out and get some of these guys, but they're going to be two more years older. You don't know what wear and tear is on those bodies by the time it comes around for that free agent class. So, I think we got to also look at an number two option this year. If that means, you said number two option was always going to be Russ Westbrook, right? So do you maybe pull that trigger, part of the Lakers deal with the Nets for Kyrie, and you take Russ on there, so that because you couldn't get Ayton with it. I don't know. It's
right.
Going to be interesting to see.
It'd be only Russ for like a year or half a year. So, you know.
Yeah, because he'd be a free agent, like and that money's off the books, and you got it back. So.
Yep.
Shout out Pacers. We finally got We finally got Monte Ellis's contract off the deck out. So all those years.
Front office, there we go.
Exactly. So as we said, breaking news, DeAndre Ayton has officially signed now his four-year, $133 million offer sheet with the Pacers. The Suns are on the clock until Saturday night at midnight to match it. There's word is Adrian Wojnarowski says that the Suns are expected to think about this late into Saturday evening before making a decision, which isn't that crazy. Like, if you really want him that bad, then you do it quickly, right? You would think tonight, boom, right, we're gonna match it. So maybe they're gonna be like, let's talk about this and see what. Okay.
Who knows? Who knows? Brent, I know we running a little short on time, man. I wanted to. Are we on official Tiger Woods watch this weekend, or that's probably a little pre.
No. Tiger's the chance is over. He shot six over today. He looks terrible today.
But maybe
78. Rory right now is in second place. I picked him to win. He's two shots back of the lead. They went out this morning. By this morning, went out at like 3 o'clock this morning. For his 3 o'clock Eastern time, you know, early morning there. But the people that went out early, they're on top of the leaderboard because it was not windy. In the afternoon rounds with Tiger and all that, it was really, really windy, and the scores jumped up. It was very hard to score. Tomorrow morning, with that. A couple of things I have for you, John. I'm okay with the NBA voting to keep the play-in tournament official.
Right.
I do like that. I don't like that having a mid-season 30-team tournament. I don't like that.
No.
They can try to keep talking about it. Keep it out of here. We don't need that smoke. And then the Jazz and the Ainge are willing to put a trade package together to get Donovan Mitchell out of there. The Knicks are trying to package a thing together. The thing with the Knicks is Danny Ainge wanting 4 or 5 or 6 of the first-round picks that the Knicks have. Is Donovan Mitchell worth 6 first-round picks and RJ Barrett?
What the hell's going on? I mean, I know that's a loaded question, man. What the hell's going on in Utah? Danny Ainge comes – I get it, Donovan Mitchell hasn't played it up to par the last couple of seasons, man, ever since the explosion pre-bubble and during the bubble. But, man, this team is going to look totally different at the start of the season, man, if Danny Ainge has his way, man. So, coach gone, second best player gone, Gobert gone. Now, you know what I'm saying, trying to heist up the Knicks for lottery picks, you know. We know Danny Ainge is a great, you know what I'm saying, builder of teams, architect, you know what I'm saying. He probably already got his eyes on whoever he wants in the draft. So
I got a little more breaking news for you.
Uh-oh.
A little more insight breaking news on the Indiana Pacers, DeAndre Ayton front. I said earlier that the trade talks were talking. They had until midnight to figure out a trade. Here's a little more detail on the trade. The Suns were asking for both 23 from Indiana and Miles Turner for that trade. Two firsts and Miles Turner for DeAndre Ayton. The Pacers have no interest in moving those picks. The 48-hour watch is now on.
We shall see what we shall see. If
would you wouldn't have done that, would you? You would trade two first-round picks next year, Miles Turner for Ayton.
Miles Turner and two first-round picks. We keeping Duarte, or are we let some of these other guards?
No. It's just the first-round pick, and you have three next year, but it's two of your three first-round picks and Miles Turner for DeAndre. That's what they offer, and the Pacers said no.
I might have rolled with that, but I get it. The Pacers probably want to jettison some of this, you know what I'm saying, this weight, this fat that they have off their roster. So that's probably why they said no and are good with the guards that they, you know what I'm saying, good with the picks rolling into the next couple of seasons. So it's going to happen. I just don't know how it's going to happen.
Okay. And go ahead back to Donovan Mitchell. Sorry, I just saw that.
No, man, no, dude, I kind of wrapped it up, man. Donovan Mitchell is not going to be with the Utah Jazz going further. It's a team that we at one point thought we could potentially see him retiring there. As they thought, remember when they said he was the best Utah Jazz player ever? Like, he had leapfrogged the
some of those big time games he had. They said he had. I mean, they were 40-point burgers, right? A succession of them, man. They were talking about he was already right underneath like John Stockton and Karl Malone. I was like, whoa, really? So it's not like a franchise that he hadn't embraced is himself, and they embraced him. But Danny Ainge is like pissing all over that. So instead of like trying to make it work and figure it out, man, Don Mitchell might be coming to the East Coast. We shall see.
Gotcha. All right.
Hold on, I didn't hear you. You cut out there for a second.
No, I said, do you have anything else before we close? It's a wild day.
Nah, man. Just one more thing before we close that, man. Shout out to White River Wrestling. I talked with the veteran Jack Vaughn. I tried to get him to come on later. He's going to come on with us a little bit later on this summer, right? Just kind of chop it up. If anybody remembers the veteran,
champ,
wrestler,
I think,
Jack Vaughn. Yeah, he won a championship. He won two championships from two different organizations, man. We had him on with us about a month ago, kind of talked about the local Indianapolis and Ohio Valley, you know what I'm saying, wrestling scene. Well, he's going to be here again with White River Wrestling Show on Saturday, man. So just be looking, you know, all the folks who kind of listen to our show know, you know, some of the guests we have on, be looking for that in the next couple of weeks or whatever. But, like, man, if you want to see him this weekend in the Indianapolis market, the White River Wrestling promotion is throwing an event this week. So, yeah, man. And they're like you said, me and Brandon went maybe like 6-7 months ago, right? Had a good time. Uh-oh, man. We got all kind of breaking news. This one
more breaking news. Amsterdam matched the Pacers 4-year, $153 million offer.
They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
They built the stadium in the Athletic. Ayton will stay in Phoenix. It's official. They have matched it. Indiana's cap space is now frozen. Either will be at cap or have $1 million in room in the next 2 days elapsed. Matching the offer sheet plus weeks of tax money with $32 million tax penalty. The cost of a $62 million per season to keep Ayton. It's cost them $62 million to keep him.
I don't know who. I'm going to find out, Brandon. I do know who's running Phoenix. Man, boo. Boo. That means you made a decision now.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your other ancillary players that you really, really like? You letting them go? They made a decision. They letting them go. The Pacers got to figure out what to do with Miles Turner and whoever else is potentially a malcontent that's been, you know what I'm saying, in trade conversations, you know what I'm saying, or player movement conversations. This is
the Pacers had a number one officially for like 18 minutes now, officially.
But that's crazy, though, Brandon. He wants to play for the Pacers.
He does.
He doesn't want to play.
I love the fact we saw a Photoshopped jersey on him. We saw that.
Wow.
And by God, DeAndre Ayton's career with the Indiana Pacers lasted less than the length of the Crossroads Sports Radio Show.
They matched the contract offer. He stays with the son. This is like more drama than, you know what I'm saying, all my children. And that's been canceled on how many years ago.
It's going to hit Saturday. So now at the end of the show, he is officially done again. Crazy.
Well, I bet
as soon as they
received
it, Jurnowski said, as soon as the Suns received the offer sheet, the franchise matched it. He returned to Phoenix and cannot be traded without his consent for a full year.
Okay. For a full year, not even January then.
Yeah, well,
so
to the Pacers for a full year. Well, he can tell them no to a trade. If I trade him in January, he says no, then.
The Phoenix Suns, there's a whole big tug of war. We're going to have to talk about this later on. I don't think the league is going to go into any type of lockout or anything like that. There's a whole big tug of war right now between ownership and players and like people. The ownership is where the inflated contracts and like how much you can get, how much can you really get once you pay a dude $600 million? Like, are we getting to a championship or not? Right? You know what I'm saying? And all those things, but like the players, just if it was a tug of war where the owners were locked in, the owners just lost because just let him go. You don't even want, and now you give him all the power. So if he says he don't want to go to Brooklyn, he ain't going to Brooklyn. If he says he don't want to go to some kooky trade that's going to get him to Portland or whatever, wherever, he controls all those dominoes. You should just, like, man,
You should have either traded him like in during the season because you didn't want him. Now you do this. This is crazy, man. But it is.
Twitter is having a day right now. Twitter is having a day right now.
I'm about to jump on myself.
DeAndre Ayton in a Pacers jersey, and the hashtag says Pacers legend for 18 minutes. And there's something.
Wow.
Twitter is hilarious tonight with DeAndre Ayton and the Pacers stuff.
I wonder how they handle it from a PR standpoint, like, you know what I'm saying, when they have to interview coach and Ayton.
Sam says the Suns made it clear through free agency that the franchise tended to bring back Ayton and were committed to spend in order to continue to compete for an NBA title around All-Star Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton. Phoenix goes approximately $15 million into the luxury tax.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. To be continued.
Well, a lot of money. Maybe we can throw some of that to us, right?
Right.
Mm. So it's looking like the Pacers put all the bells and whistles into that offer sheet. There was a fourth-year player option. There was 15% trade bonus and upfront actual payments. That's what it was in the offer sheet the Pacers had. It's just back to the drawing board, John. And here's the rough part. They waived Washington and got rid of Stauskas, Morgan, and Fitz just to have the Suns match it in less than 18 minutes. Those players can't be reversed. They're off the Pacers now for good.
Right, because
they can't come back.
They got waived. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phoenix. Maybe it'll be a rival between us and the Suns from here on out, then. How about that?
I always hated Dan Marley.
Oh, no. There ain't going to be no Dan Marley shade. There won't be no Kevin Johnson or Dan Farley, Jeff Hornacek, Cotton Fitzsimmons, Tom Chambers. I used to love the Phoenix Suns, man.
Johnson.
But, like, man, this Kevin Johnson, right, you know, a couple other Phoenix Suns. There's another Johnson. They had a lot of Johnsons. Anyway. Man, but this Phoenix franchise they got now, man, it's like a kick in the balls. Anyway, man, we better wrap up.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you go. We shouldn't need any more than this. We've gotten everything we've needed to DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I also don't want to get caught up in mid-conversation, man, and then you get cut off by the program. Man, no, man. So thanks, everybody, for chiming in today. Thanks for D-Cott and Reggie for calling in, you know what I'm saying, our usual suspects, giving their opinionated takes, man. Want to say thank you for a professional bowler. Kevin Williams for finally catching up with us today as well, man. Hopefully everybody learned a little bit about bowling, what it is life is to be a professional bowler, and like hopefully a little more respect for the bowlers next time you sit on your TV screen, man. You know, so again, man, thanks to Kevin Williams. It won't be his last time on our show. We'll chop it up with him again, hopefully real soon. So thanks again for Kevin Williams coming on to the show. Outside of that, man, couldn't do our show without our sponsors. Thanks, Scott Nichols. State Farm Insurance, thanks to Mavericks Custom Motorsports, thanks to Wiseman Logistics, man. How can we do a show without them, man? Check out their services. I'm guaranteed they got something for you. Brandon, I'm headed to Florida tomorrow. I'm on vacation. I very rarely go on vacation, right? Outside of the normal Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky area. But I'll be on vacation tomorrow. Limited conversation, attending a wedding. Some friends, you know, so me and my fiance are going to Florida tomorrow, down to Tampa tomorrow. So we shall see. I'm looking for Tom Brady. How about that? I'm looking for the Tom Brady fans. Anybody in the Tampa
Bay area? Put the sunscreen
on. I'm looking for the Tom Brady fans. I'm coming with my early 2000 Colts chip on the shoulder. So, man, I hope I'm hoping to have a good time. I've never been to Tampa. I know you've been. Before, so hopefully, when I get back, we'll share some of our Tampa stories, man. Outside of that, man, I think we had a great show, man. Again, Brandon, you're a great host, man. this host is with the Moses, man. Outside of that, man, we'll be back next week, bigger, better than ever. And like I said, everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you. This has been the DeAndre Ayton Appreciation Tribute Show. He lasted 18 of fifth as a Pacer, so. This show is dedicated to DeAndre Ayton and his time with the Indiana Pacers. See y'all next week. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.